Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord. Well, you may be seated tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and show it up. I can't lollygag tonight. We got to jump in the Word. How many of y'all, this is no place you would rather be than in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night, January the 20th, 2021. All right, say this after me. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight I'm going to be taught the ever-living, incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I will never, ever, 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 ever be the same again. What was Batman? Come on, what was Batman? Without the Batmobile? Nothing. And I'm nothing without the Word of God. Amen. All right, look at your neighbor and say, tonight, I'm going to get something out of the Word. All right, we're going to see what the Bible says about spiritual warfare, and it's very important to know what the Bible says. Go ahead and go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10. I'm going to go ahead and read all the way through 18. Pastor, you did that last week. There's nothing better than reading all these verses than reading it again. And then you need to read it again. And then I met the president again, and I drank Dr. Peppers again. I'm telling you, there's something about that again. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet. Come on. Jesus was a horseshoer. God's a horseshoer. Come on. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There's five parts that I'm going to go over in this study. I'm going to try to get the second part or talk about verse 11 all tonight. But last week we talked about spiritual power. This week we're going to talk about five words about spiritual warfare. Then next week, verse 12, we're going to talk about the enemy explained. Verse 13, how to resist the devil. And then from there, I don't know how long it's going to go, but we're going to talk about the individual pieces that God has given us, these spiritual weapons. Lots of times it's easy for us to jump into the spiritual weapons. It's fun. I'll tell you, it is fun to talk about the helmet of salvation. I love to preach the shield of faith. I could preach that with my eyes closed in a dark room and get myself fired up. But we got to put the horse before the cart. And I just want to do a recap of last week. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, that word is to the last and most important matter that is at hand. If you can't remember anything else that I told you in Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, remember this. Please remember this. Save this to the very end so this will be your foremost in your mind. And then he begins to describe spiritual warfare and spiritual weaponry. He's saying, hey, he tells them in Ephesians chapter 4, he knows that the church is caught up in malice. He knows that they're caught up in backbiting and stabbing each other in the back. But he's saying, hey, Ephesians 1's great, 2's great, 3's great, 4's great, 5's great. But finally, to the greatest thing I'm going to tell you, this right here, if you're going to make it, finally, can I tell you this? Finally, in 2021, if you're going to make it, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Last week, I got to go ahead and tell you that I goofed last week and forgot a whole page of notes. I got so excited talking about strong. I talked about enduo and I talked about dunamis. But the actual word of strong is in dunamo. Not that I gave you bad information last week, but there's something I want to share with you. The actual word for strong, it's the Greek, in the Greek or in the Concordance in 1741, and it's in dunamo. Listen to this. It's power, so that's two words, in duo, which we talked about last week, which we are endued with power. I'm telling you, he starts it off right off the bat. You cannot do this without the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say that again. You cannot do this without the Holy Ghost. If you need a dose of the Ghost, you come see me afterwards. I'll help you out with that. But, and then there's the word dunamis, which we see in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's dunamis power. We also see that word power, dunamis power, in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So this word in dunamo means power that is bestowed on an individual when he is called to perform a special task at hand that is beyond his natural abilities. How many of y'all want what the Lord has for you beyond your natural abilities? It's frequently used by classical Greek writers to describe an individual who had been very carefully handpicked by the gods to perform extra special superhuman tasks. Thor. Moving on. Paul knew emphatically, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that when God's power is released full force into the life of a believer, his supernatural flow of power will turn the normal believer into a spiritual giant. Amen? Therefore, Paul commands every believer in the strongest of terms, in this in dunamo terms, be empowered. Receive the inner strengthening. Be infused with God's supernatural strength and ability. So it says, finally, strong in the Lord. This is the locative tense in Greek. So it goes to a particular place, meaning that this special strength can be found only in one place, and that is in the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Some of y'all are trying to grab strength even from a parent or a loved one that may speak into your life. I'm telling you, there's only one supernatural strength that can come from God. As I said it last week, the same deal about Elijah. I love that story about Elijah, of how when he was inside the cave, the earthquake came, but God wasn't in the earthquake. The wind came, and God wasn't in the wind. But when he heard the still, small voice of the Lord. I'm telling you, if you're going to be strong in the Lord and in your power of your might, you have got to learn how to get in that closet and get close to the Lord and listen to his voice. It's locked up in the person of Jesus Christ, and that is in that this power cannot be found anywhere else. We cannot obtain this special supernatural power by reading books, listening to teaching tapes, or by any other such means. And I'm all for teaching tapes, and I'm all for podcasts. I'm all for those things. I believe those build your faith, but you cannot obtain this special supernatural power without being close to the Lord and seeking his face. This power can be obtained only through a personal relationship. This power is locked up in the Lord. Now this word power. Last week I talked about dunamis power, but this word power is kratos power. This is the Greek word in Concordance number 2904. But it's a power that is demonstrative, eruptive, and tangible. How many of y'all want an illustrated power of the Lord? A demonstrated power of the Lord. How many of y'all have ever been in a service before where you've seen the power of God demonstrated with healing of somebody's body? That's a kratos power. It almost always comes with some type of external outward manifestation that one can actually see with his or her own eyes. This means that kratos power is not a hypothetical power. On the contrary, this power is very real. We see in Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 19 and 20, it declares that when God raised Jesus from the dead, he used this very same kratos power. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he threw in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The King James sentence structure is a bit reversed from the original Greek. The Greek says, according to the work of the power of his might. Isn't that good? So why is this so significant? Because the power of his might is the identical phrase used in Ephesians 6:10. To note the power that is working behind the scenes to energize us for our combat with unseen evil powers. Think of that. The kind of power that God uses when he raised Christ from the dead is the very same exact identical power that is now at work within you. We have resurrection power. You know, I thought about this week, you know, and when I got out of Facebook jail. They don't want the truth, so they lock you up in jail. But there comes a time you come out of jail. And I thought about this. You know what? They tried to lock up the truth. They tried to bury it in the ground for 3 days. But how many of y'all know the truth can't stay in the ground? It has resurrection power. And so the truth will set you free. Amen. There's power in that. Kratos power refers to the strongest flow of power that exists in the entire universe. Isn't that something? There is power in water. There is power in electricity, but it doesn't match the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? In fact, this power is so supreme that in Scripture it is used only in reference to God's power. Man does not possess this kind of power unless it has been given to him by the Almighty God. And aren't you thankful that he has given you that power? I'm thankful we don't serve a stingy God. He gives us good things. He's a good, good father. Then we get to the word might. This is the last of the recap. Ischios pictures an extremely strong man, such as a bodybuilder, a man who is able, a man who is mighty, or a man with great muscular capabilities. This pictures God as one who is able, mighty, and muscular. Now let's break down verse 11. We're getting into tonight's teachings. New King James says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In the Amplified, it says, put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and deceits of the devil. The Passion Translation says, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. So this word whole armor, it means panoplia. It's a Roman soldier who is fully dressed in his armor from head to toe. Paul knew all about this because of his many times in prison. I mean, y'all know you get perspective of things of when you're in the same place at the same time all the time. So he sees the garb that they're all dressed in, and he's saying a real Roman soldier, when he is on duty, he is dressed in the whole armor of God. And can I tell you, just like I told you this last weekend, did you get something out of the message of Battleborn? The devil never takes a day off. He is consistent. 40 days, the giant came out there. That's why I'm going to continue to tell you, you can't have any days off. You can never take your armor off. You can never take your armor off. So he says whole armor. Put on there, we studied this last week, but I want to go ahead and share it again, is in duo. We see in Luke 24 when he gave us the Holy Spirit, he said, you have now been endued with power. It's the act of putting on a new set of clothes. And so it's telling us this right out the gate. He's saying put on. The only way that you're going to be able to put on the whole armor of God is if the Spirit of God is at work on the inside of you. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul uses the imperative tense in this text here, put on. This means he is not making a suggestion. Rather, he is issuing the very strongest kind of command that can be given. This is not a suggestion, although Christians like suggestions. How many of y'all know Paul is not giving one here? He's saying, finally, down to the meat, if you're going to make it, you have to do this. Have to. In the strongest tone voice available, Paul is commanding us with a great urgency to take a particular kind of immediate action. This action is so important that one that Paul speaks to us. He speaks in the imperative tense, commanding and ordering us to be clothed with the whole armor of God. We can reject Paul's command or we can accept it, but if we choose to take his command to heart, we must then learn how to put on the spiritual armor God has provided for us. He says, put on the whole armor of God. This word here in Greek is tautheo, and this is written in the genitive case. You can look up what that means. But simply put, this means our super... I wasn't very good in English, so I won't describe it to you. But this means, simply put, that our supernatural set of weaponry comes directly from God. God himself is the source of origin for this armor. Thus, the verse could be accurately translated, put on the whole armor that comes straight from the throne room of heaven, from God. Because this weaponry has its origin in God, it is vital for us to remain in an unbroken fellowship with him in order for us to continually enjoy the benefits of our spiritual armor. Remember one of the things that I talked about last week. If there's sin in your life that you don't want to get rid of, this class is not for you. Because if sin is in your life, spiritual warfare is always going to defeat you. You've got to be in an unbroken relationship with him. And there may be some things, well, my grandpappy's pappy's pappy did this. Well, listen, you can have all the things your grandpappy's pappy had, but I want the things that come from God, the maker of heaven and earth. I didn't know if I'd get very many amens on that or not. Put on the whole armor of God that came straight from God. If we break fellowship with the Lord, we step away from our all-important power source. But as long as our fellowship with the Lord is unbroken, the power source for our spiritual weaponry always remains intact. The armor of God is ours by virtue of our relationship with God. Your unbroken, ongoing fellowship with God is your absolute guarantee that you are constantly, always dressed in the whole armor of God. Now listen what it says in Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. God has provided a complete set of weaponry for us, not a partial one. How many of y'all know when he gives gifts, he gives them complete? Sometimes your parents give you half of the set, and you have to believe God for the rest of them. How many of y'all know he's a good, good father when he gives it all to you? He has given us the whole armor of God. God has given us everything we need to successfully combat opposing spiritual forces, so nothing is lacking. We are commanded to put on the whole armor of God. Thank God for the loin belt of truth, but he gave us more than the loin belt. I'm trying to paint a picture here. I see people all the time, they get hung up in one particular thing that God gives, but I'm telling you, God gives more than just love. God gives more than just mercy. God gives more than just grace. God gives some chastisement, y'all. Read the word. Amen. Thank God for the breastplate of righteousness, but he's given us more than the breastplate of righteousness. Thank God for the shoes of peace, but he's given us more than just peace or these shoes. God, thank God for the shield of faith, but he's given us more than the shield. Thank God for the helmet, but God has given us more than the helmet. Thank God for the sword of the Spirit, but God has given us more than the sword. Thank God for the lance, but God has given us more than just the lance. We've been given the whole armor of God, and it is this complete set of spiritual weaponry that Paul commands us to pick up and use continually in the course of our Christian lives. So verse 11 here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So Paul continues in this passage. He tells us we need this armor. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand here. That you may be able, that word able, that's the Greek word 14:10, dynamai. It's where we get the word dunamis. It means to be able, have a ability, to have the power to accomplish an action. Humans have variously limited abilities, but God is unlimited. How many of y'all know we serve a God that is not only willing, but he is able? God is able. I love that song. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we dare ask or think. He's able. So this power is so strong that it equips us for the first time in our lives to confront and pursue the enemy rather than to be pursued by him. Isn't that good? Because of this power that is at our command, we walk in the whole armor of God. We become the aggressor. This is why Paul goes on to say that he may be able to stand against. The aggressor has now become the aggressee. Isn't that good? That's good. This word stand, hope I ain't going too fast, but we got a lot to cover. This word stand means this, it's stena, means to stand. Now this is important, especially today. Looking across Facebook and listening to some of y'all on the phone. This is a picture of a soldier, a Roman soldier, who is standing upright with his shoulders thrown back and his head lifted high. Come on. Well, you know what the enemy wants you to do right now is stick your head in the sand. We need to stick our head up in the air. Confident, bold. It's the image of a proud and confident soldier, not one who has slumped over in defeat and despondency. This word was used in a military sense, meaning to maintain a critical and strategic military position over a battlefield. Why is this so important? Because this meaning implies that we have the responsibility to stand guard over the battlefields of our own life. Not your mama, not your daddy. Men, not your wife, but you. I'm going to say that again. Not your wife, but you. Or wives, not your husband, but you. So don't give the enemy an inch. I'm going to say it again. Y'all get ready to shout. Don't give the enemy an inch. Amen? It's your responsibility. Remember, the most important battlefield in your life is your mind. How many of y'all believe that? Spiritual warfare is a matter of the mind. I'm telling you, your mind will take you places. I mean, just today, of all these different things, already the millions, I heard on the radio, the millions that of immigrants that are coming in to the United States of America, my mind began to wonder, oh, Lordy, 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 where are these jobs going to go? What jobs are going to be taken away? I mean, so many things. Y'all know, don't be looking at me all judgmental right now, but I'm thinking, how is this going to work? How is minimum wage? You know why you get minimum wage? Because you have minimal skills. Amen? I mean, I'm beginning to think about all these things. Where's this money going to come from? Where's that money going to come from? I'm telling you, your mind will put you in the dirt. But I'm telling you, when your mind is right and confident in the Lord, it'll help you to stand with your head held high. As long as the mind is held in check and is renewed to right thinking by the word of God, the majority of spiritual attacks will fail. However, when the mind is left open and unguarded, it becomes the primary battlefield Satan uses to destroy lives, finances, businesses, marriages, emotions, and so on. I'm telling you, isn't it crazy how the mind goes? There'll be times, say, Pastor, I want to meet with you. And I think, oh, I know what they want to meet with me about. And I go in there prepared for the thing that I think that they think that we think we're going to talk about. But then they throw something completely different on me, and I'm not prepared for that thing because the enemy made me think about something else. Isn't it amazing how the mind works? This is why one of your most important responsibilities is to stand guard over your mind. In doing so, you are actually placing a guard around every other battlefield in your life. And I believe that with my whole heart. Stand against, this is the word pros, Greek word pros. It denotes a forward position or a face-to-face encounter. How many of y'all know a real soldier goes face to face against some things? He doesn't run. He's not, I mean, there may be some times that he's sneaky, but a real soldier is not afraid, especially when he has bigger guns than the other guy. And y'all know when it's from God, they're always bigger, right? Paul is portraying a soldier who is looking his enemy directly face, eyeball to eyeball. This is a soldier who is standing tall, his shoulders are thrown back, and his head is lifted high in confidence. He is so bold, he's daring, and he is courageous that he is glaring fearlessly right into the eye of his adversary. This is the confrontation that the word pros undoubtedly depicts. So this demonstrates that with God's mighty power in his armor on our side, we are more than a match for the enemy. In fact, we are a fearsome and terrible threat to Satan's domain. So you should never shudder at the thought of what the devil can do to you. I'm going to say this again. You pay attention. You should never shudder at the thought of what the devil can do to you, because this spiritual armor puts you in such a super powerful position that it makes the devil shudder, tremble at the very thought of what you can do to him. Come on, that should change something on the inside of you. That God has given you something to ward against the enemy. With the armor of God in hand, we are so mighty and powerful in Jesus Christ that the devil and his forces don't stand a chance. When we're dressed in a suit of armor, we become mighty spiritual warriors who are dressed to kill. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles. Now, this is probably my favorite part of this. Those of you that were on in the morning time, you know what I'm talking about here. But this word wiles is methodos. It's a compilation of two Greek words, meta and odos. Meta means with. Odos means road. Odos is also the word where we get in the English odometer. So the two words together, methodos, compiled together, is with a road. The English word we see here is method. So the word wiles is often translated to carry the idea of something that is cunning, crafty, subtle, and full of trickery, which you look it up in the concordance. That's one of the definitions that it's going to give you. But however, the most basic translation that we see of this word is literally meaning with the road or on a road. This is so good. This means that contrary to the common belief of most people, the devil does not have as many tricks in the bag as he would like for us to believe. The word wiles plainly means that the enemy travels on one road, one lane, one avenue, one street. In other words, he primarily has only one trick in his bag, and he obviously has learned to use that one trick on you very, very well. Now, I want you to think about this. The wiles of the devil. I want you to think about people in their life, of something that they're hung up in. You can see it on their mama and you can see it on their daddy. Maybe it be a spirit of offense. But the devil knows that in their family, that's the only road that he has to go down to get inside of that family member's head. Is it making some sense to you? I'm telling you, the word of God is written by the Holy Spirit. Because when I begin to see this with the road or on a road, wiles, I think about a man who's addicted to drugs, and if he's not careful, his son will be addicted to drugs as well. And the enemy knows, I don't have to go down any other road but this road of drug abuse. This is the road that I can send him down. But I got good news for you. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, when it talks about the world is under a curse, but there's blessings that come from Abraham. And he says this, that the enemy comes down one road. Let's go ahead and read it. Where's it at? Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 7. I want to make sure that I say it right. Deuteronomy 28, 7. It'd be a good night to read Deuteronomy 28 anyway. It says this, holy place you should... Am I at the right... I'm in Numbers. Why am I in Numbers? Numbers 28, right here, verse 7. The Lord will cause the enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. I'm just going to go ahead and say that again, because doesn't that sound good? The Lord will cause the enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come at you against you in one way. Come on, are you seeing it? in one road, one lane, or one avenue. But what's it say? But flee before you seven ways. How many pieces of armor does God give you? Only the Lord could write this book. Isn't that good? Come on, get a revelation of that. The enemy only has one thing, but you have seven against him. I'm telling you, there is a bigger power on the inside of you than you think you have. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, it says, Paul gives us a clue to where this road leads that the devil is traveling on. Paul says, we are not ignorant of his, talking about Satan's devices. This word devices, it's important that we study this word here. This is a spiritual spiritual warfare word for sure. But devices is neomata. And the Greek word is nous, or N-O-U-S. I'm not a scholar there. But it's the mind or the intellect. So in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, it says, it carries the idea of a deceived mind. Specifically, this word neomata denotes the insidious, malevolent plot of Satan to fill the human mind with confusion. You can translate this verse, we are not ignorant of mind games that Satan tries to pull on us. The devil loves to make a playground out of people's minds, does he not? I don't mean to be talking about minds, but I'm telling you, that's where it gets us the most. He delights in filling their emotions and senses with illusions that captivate their mind and ultimately destroy them. He has a master when it comes to mind games, right? You must make a mental decision to take charge of your mind. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Stop listening to yourself and start speaking to yourself. I'm going to say that again. You got to stop listening to yourself and start speaking to yourself. I'm telling you, it builds my faith. There's somebody in the church here that they had gotten a bad report. And she called me and she said, Pastor, here are the facts. The facts are yada, yada, yada. This is what they said. But she said, the truth of the truth is this. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. You know what that meant to me? I nearly started running in the basement myself. That built faith in me. Amen? She said, I'm hearing one thing, but I'm speaking another. I'm telling you, you've got to learn how to do that. If you're going to be a soldier, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. You got to start speaking to yourself. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You've got to get some scriptures. I'm telling you, tattoo them on your heart. You got to write them out. Come on. Repertoire, say them. Like I said tonight, the best thing about Ephesians 6 is the second time you read it, the third time you read it, the fourth time you read it, the fifth time you read it. What am I doing? I'm speaking to myself. I'm not listening to myself, and I'm not listening to CNN. I'm not going to bury my head in the sand. I'm going to know what's going around me. I know all of these facts that are going on, but the truth is there is resurrection power on the inside of me. I should be teaching. You must make a mental decision, take charge of your mind, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So going back to the word wiles, it explicitly tells us that the devil travels with the road or on the road. This road the devil is traveling on is obviously headed somewhere. Where is the road headed? The word devices clearly demonstrates that the road of the devil is headed towards the mind. Whenever you control your mind, you control your health and your emotions, and the enemy knows it. I was at the doctor's office Monday just for a checkup. I had an echo 2 weeks ago, and just one of those deals. There's nothing wrong with me. I had high blood pressure a couple years ago, and they still hadn't figured out why, and you have to go every year, you know, one of those deals. So I went to the doctor, and he told me this. He said, I'm going to write you a prescription, there's not very many COVID vaccines left, but you can have this. And I said, I don't want that. And he said, if you've seen what I've seen, you would get it. And I said, if you knew who I know. Listen, and I'm not here to get in a debate about that or whatever. I mean, if you want to, you know. I said, it's my decision whether I get sick or die. It's my decision. This is a free world. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to. And then he said this. He said, wow, you're confident. He said, you know, it probably wouldn't affect you anyway. I mean, this is a scientist doctor. This dude is so stinking smart. He said, it wouldn't affect you anyway. I said, why is that? He said, well, you know how fear works. I said, ba-dump-dump. Come on, somebody. I'm speaking to myself. Come on, I'm trying to get you girded up this tonight. If you're going to be in armor, you're going to have to speak to some things too. Romans 12:1-2, what does it say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, pleasing unto him. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The same guy who wrote that wrote Ephesians 6. So if you choose not to renew your mind and yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, it will be only a matter of time before a solid stronghold of deception begins to dominate and manipulate your self-image, his emotional status, and his overall thinking. This leads us to the third word we must understand when discussing spiritual warfare, and this word is deception. Just turn on your TV. Just go to Facebook. I'm telling you, deception. Look at this. It occurs, this is what deception is. It occurs when a person believes the lies of the enemy that he has been telling him. It's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to believe it. And when you believe it, you are being deceived. It's the moment someone begins to accept Satan's lies as truth, and because of the wicked thoughts and mind games the devil has produced in their mind, it has now become reality in their life. Those of you that haven't been watching in the mornings, that's what I've been talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I hope you've been getting something out of that. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said that the Spirit of God comes to him expressly, and he says in the latter days there will be some that will depart from the faith. I'm not going to be a part of the some. Some that depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I'm telling you, isn't it something, in the day we're living in, people actually believe that abortion is okay. Especially after the baby is born. That is a deceived mind. It's a deceived mind that it is okay to have a man have sex with another man. That is a deceived mind. Or a woman with a woman. And I know believers and even preachers out there and said, you know what, it's just the culture that we're living in. I'm telling you, that is deception right before our eyes. That is deception when we allow men to go into women's bathrooms or women to go into men's bathrooms or men to wrestle other women in high school. That is believing a bold-faced lie from the devil. It's a deceived mind. I see deception so big in believers to where they know something's a sin, but it's okay if their kid's involved with it. They change their whole belief system for their own child. That is deception. That's being deceived. We need to know these things. We need to know these things. Wiles of the devil. Devil is Diablos. This ends it and paints the best picture. Diablos. It's derived from the word dia. And the word dia means penetration. Balo means to throw something such as a ball or a rock. Wiles of the devil. On a road, penetration to throw something such as a ball or rock. Diablos, one who strikes repeatedly again and again. You know what you do you take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Does that mean that thought never comes back? No. Why? He's like that roommate in college. Let's go do it. Have you heard of this thing called sleep? You can sleep when you're dead. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. Or you have that friend that's always chirping in your ear. Come on, come on, you sissy. You know you want to do it. You know it. Do they give up? No. No. It's like the person that quit drinking. They bought all the beer, and then you quit. You made a conscious decision to go and quit, and now your friend comes over and says, hey, let's go drink. And you say, and they say, I'll buy the beer. Do they stop there? No. They keep on, and they keep on, and they keep on, and they keep on. I'm telling you, does this not make sense? Once that person's mental resistance has been breached, the enemy then strikes with all his fury to penetrate and take captive that person's mind and his emotions. This is how the enemy works. He will repeatedly try to hit you with lies, suggestions, accusations, and allegations, bombarding you with one slanderous assault after another. In this way, the devil attempts to wear you down, looking for an opportunity to make his move and take you captive in one of your weaker moments. I'm telling you, the devil never takes a day off. That's why we as believers, you can't afford to take a day off. We can't afford to take a day off. We can't afford to just, oh, you know what? It's Friday. It's finally Friday. You know where I'm going. I'm telling you, you can't take a day off. If the enemy can find you with your guard down, he will then try to pave a road into your mind so he can confuse your emotions with mind games. Why did we see that the Philistines camped out where they did in 1 Samuel chapter 17? It's because the king, Saul, put his guard down. The Bible says he was tormented. The Bible says David came and played the harp for him, and the enemy knew it. And they camped out at the place where they brought their giant. I'm telling you, you never take a day off. His goal is to deceive you to the point that you actually begin to believe his threats. If he succeeds, your false perceptions will empower his lies to become a reality in your life. Now you can better understand the sense of urgency behind Paul's command in Ephesians 6:11. If you're ever going to live free from the enemy's tormenting lies and accusation, it is absolutely imperative that you clothe yourself with the whole panoply. The loin belt, breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet, sword, and lance that come from God, that you may have explosive and dynamic power to stand proud and upright face to face, eyeball to eyeball against the roads that the slanderer would try to pave inside of your mind. I'm going to say that one more time. This is when you break this scripture down of everything that we studied. It says, clothe yourself with the whole panoply. The loin belt, breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet, sword, and lance that come from God, that you may have explosive and dynamic power to stand proud and upright, face to face, eyeball to eyeball against the road that the slanderer would try to pave inside of your mind. Amen? Do you guys get something tonight? I'm telling you, it's very important that we understand this principle. It's so important that we get, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand up against the wiles of the enemy. That's spiritual warfare. Come on, are you guys getting something out of this? Come on. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you come back next week. I know I was pretty fast tonight, but we're going to talk about the enemy explained. You need to know who you're up against. And when you see who you're up against, you begin to see it in little things in your life. And I'm telling you, that's not to scare you. That is to prepare you. Amen? That's the word for 2021, is preparation. Preparation. Come on, somebody. There is a pain in the butt somewhere. That's next week. We're going to talk about the enemy explained. Amen? I want to invite all of you personally this weekend, we are going to celebrate the life of Chris Hopp. And so this weekend, it'll be here in the church this Saturday at 2 p.m. We'd love to have you guys. Also, too, Saturday we'll have prayer at 9, and Sunday morning we're going to continue Battle Born. I'm going to try to go more than three scriptures this time. Y'all pray for me. All right? How many of y'all have gotten something out of Battle Born? I'm telling you, Battle Born, spiritual warfare, we're ready to fight the good fight of faith. That's right. Hey, and before you go tonight, I'm going to pray for you, but we need some help, don't we, Don? We've got the doors came in that we believe God for. You guys gave towards for our children's church. We just need some help placing them. They're pretty heavy. So if you drop them, you pay for them, all right? And so we just need some help. So if you guys, we need some muscle. So if you'd come up afterwards and, Don, you direct them the right way. We're going to do it tonight. All right. Lord, I thank you for this time tonight. Lord, I pray for those that gave. I speak multiplication over it, Lord. You said you'd rebuke the devourer for our sake. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, I just pray. I speak multiplication into these homes. I pray, Lord, for their businesses. God, I just pray for their families, that they're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Whatever they put their hand to shall and will prosper, God, as they heed the commandment and are obedient to the Lord. Lord, tonight, I just thank you for the word that went forth as we studied your word together. May this week, God, we put on the whole armor of God that we'd be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Lord, as we connect to the power that comes from you in your throne room, I pray, Lord, that we would see that no evil befalls us and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Lord, that you bear us up in your hands lest we dash our foot against a stone. Lord, I thank you that you prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And Lord, as we look face to face, may we stand there in confidence, knowing that you have given us the tools to combat the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org. Or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.